Philippians chapter 3. That's the letter to Philippi via Chicopee, Mass. You got it? One verse that I'm going to try to pound home so that you will understand. It's the verse we're going to start with. Verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Remember that this is the gentleman who's in prison, probably writing this to the best of his ability. His emotions are probably drained because nobody's visiting. He wants to go see the members of the body of Christ, but he's got chains. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You got it, Val? When the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, and he lets you know that you are his chosen vessel to operate in a certain space, he may take some of you and push you out into a foreign area for a while, just so that your surroundings are not going to be dependent on, and you'll be dependent on him. And not on flesh and blood that you'd expect. There are expectations in Christians that are not Christ-like. And you're going to meet some of them because they have an agenda for you.
Amen.
They have an agenda for you. But the one who apprehended you is Jesus. And if he took a hold of you like he took a hold of this man, then you're going to have to make the choice to press on in spite of the emotions. Paul was a radical religious fanatic. If you want to go through his list of things, read it. But then, Christ Jesus took a hold of him. Christ Jesus has got a hold on some of you in different ways and in different manners for different purposes. And if you start comparing yourself with the neighbor, you're in trouble. Look at your neighbor right now, face to face, and say, I'm all done trying to follow you. I'm going to look to Jesus and get your eyes off me. I'm not your problem. He is your deliverer. And he's your healer. And I'm going to look to him. Jesus himself. To finish the work he's on. Hallelujah. All right. Brothers, verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Did you hear? Forgetting what is
behind.
So stop looking back to see a mess that you made.
Yes.
Come on now.
That's right.
Okay? He is straining. The word straining identifies what? A works program. It's you're going to have to choose to go forward in spite of the emotions that are saying, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. Straining. It means that, okay, so you can lift 50 pounds. And now he says, okay, I'm going to try to throw another couple pounds on you. How well can you do with 52? Or 55. Are you catching on? See, maturing the body of Christ is not exactly an easy job because they're not going to want to grow up. We went to supper at my grandson's house last night. And all of a sudden, our new baby girl, who's 3 months old, decided that she needed some attention. We found out she's got lungs. Big lungs. And I mean, Irene gave her to me. And the minute I took her, I tried to comfort her, and there was no way. I didn't have the equipment that she was looking for. I mean, I just can't make believe I have those things. I just don't. But God, I'm trying to comfort her. I'm talking to her. She is not listening. Okay? She's got one thought in her mind, and that's all there is to it. Okay? And all of a sudden, she hit a few high notes. I mean, they were loud and very, very powerful. And I said, "Are you going to sing to me now?" And of course, she just yelled a little louder. So I know that she's definitely defiant until she gets what she wants. And Irene finally made her a bottle. And she did as fast as she could. I mean, but there was no way that she was wanting to wait. Now, she found her little hand. And she went and touched and bit her first finger. And for a moment, the sound went down, but there was no juice. So guess what we heard after that? And so I had to push her little finger out of the way to make room so that there would be something good. Sometimes you and I are the same way. We're biting our own hand, trying to get satisfied, trying to work our way out of something or into something, trying to comfort ourselves. I hate to tell you, but you got a dumb dodo for a job. Because, you know, the Lord is the only one that can really nourish you. Because it's a spiritual thing that you need to have. And it's not by biting your hand or yelling at somebody or telling the neighbor to turn around. It's not going to work. Okay? Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. For which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Who called him heavenward? Who's pulling you out into a new level of revelation? He's on the job. You confirm the feast ain't done, girl. The feast was actually at a different place yesterday, wasn't it? Uh-huh. And he caused what he prepared you for to actually explode in your face. Yeah. And it's okay. Now, I'm not saying it's comfortable. I don't think Paul was comfortable with what was going on in his life either. But you see, we've got a Christianity that has been pampered to death and given a nipple and an extra dollar, thinking that the dollar is going to make you happy. No! You can have the big house. You can have the big car. It is not going to bring you salvation. It's not going to give you the identity that you need to have for those that are still out there suffering and they're hard and cold and irritated and you can't touch them because they're full of what? Ice. Did you ever try to grab somebody and give them a hug and they're full of ice? Yes or no? How many have experienced what I'm talking about? Okay, if they're full of ice, that gives you a clue. You have the what? The warmth of the fire. And what's good to melt ice? Yeah! Yeah! Are you ready? 15. All of us who are mature. Haha, I'm not there yet. I may be more mature than I was, But all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That's one of my favorite verses. You know why? Because everybody's got an opinion. And everybody's got their religious robes on, and don't disturb their religious robes. Okay? I know that we are the only ones that are going to heaven, and you poor guys, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're wild. You roll on the floor. How many have ever rolled on the floor? Thank you. That does make you wild. But the point that I'm trying to give you is this. When you try to explain away why you did what you did, you are going to look like a dummy. You're even going to sound like one. How many have tasted dummy family? Okay, don't say a word. Say, you know what? I'm just going to pray that the Lord will make things clear to you.
That's right.
Okay? And if you depend on the one that can do it, you're off the hook. Because no matter what you would tell them, they wouldn't believe you anyway. They've already made up your mind. You're the yo-yo.
Amen.
Oh, I got a few awake. Good. A few of them awake. 16.
Your confirmation for what Peggy said about putting your feet in the water.
Yes. Yes. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in fellowship by following my example. Brothers, and take note that those who live according to the pattern we gave you, for as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Amen. And that is a great majority of Christianity. Verse 20 is very important. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, not yours, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The more you focus on trying to get this body fixed up, you're in trouble, because that's the carnality of the human mind. The more you focus on the Holy Spirit, who has the ability to reveal to you why you're in trouble, how long it may be, that's up to him. If he keeps you in some kind of a space that you may not like for a season, it's because he's got an ultimate purpose in mind. And it's not to persecute you. It is to get your focus in a different place. Amen. And the quicker you ask him to help you to focus on the one who can heal you, you're going to have the victory. And if you fall in love with the healer, it'll be that much quicker. When I fell in love with the healer, I didn't look for healing anymore. Amen. Not that I can't have an expectation. Not that I can't deliver the word. Not that I can't release the word. But I can also say, God, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to keep my focus on you. Amen. No matter what numbers of days or months or years, I will keep my focus on you. Do I like what I'm expecting or receiving? No. The like part isn't there. But the glory that will come when he delivers me will be glorifying him and not me. I've seen so many that say, the Lord healed me when I confessed for 30,000 times. That may be very true. But who got the glory? They did because they did the homework with a release of themselves doing all the work. And I'm not saying God can't use that. But you and I are growing up and we're maturing. And our assurance is in the healer, not the healing. Okay? So if we press forward, forgetting what's behind, because you learned it for a reason and for a season, and you may teach others the same thing, and they may be babies for a while, and by golly, God knows how to heal his babies. Amen? Amen. And you may have to wait. But as you wait, you will mature. And as you learn to worship him in the midst of your pain, the Holy Spirit will transform your lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Isn't that cool? Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, I've got a Savior.
I've got a Savior.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
He is transforming.
My mind first.
And later, he will transform my lowly body so that it will become like his glorious body. So I wait patiently and rejoice. His plan will unfold as I celebrate him. Hallelujah. You got it. His word. And I believe that, you know, when we really taste this type of thing, you never forget it.